More of Lake Effect Weekend now. I'm Bonnie North. Usually when our material culture contributor Jonifer Fields brings an object to our attention, it's about the thing itself, how it's made, where it came from, or who made it and why. But she doesn't often talk about what effect the object has on a community. This week, she takes us to a place where a bunch of like-minded people gather to transform busted bits of cast iron into works of art.
When I was a kid, my father worked at Pelton Steel Casting Company in Milwaukee. Very simply put, casting metal is the process of melting iron, pouring it into molds, and letting it cool. My father was a finished grinder, and it was his job to clean up the cast objects after they were pulled from the molds. It was a dirty and dangerous job, and there were times when he would come home with a patch over his eye or a bandage on a new burn. But as dangerous as his job appeared to my young eyes, his stories about wacky work buddies dissolved my fear for his safety. My father worked in a building large enough to drive a train through, but today I'm going to a much smaller place on Madison's west side. My friend Carol is taking me to Feline Studios because today a group of artists are pouring iron. We pull into the driveway to the sound of two men busting old cast iron radiators into bits with sledgehammers. Others are milling about and putting on work clothes. They are all here for one thing, the pour. Megan Burdett is standing a safe distance from the flying bits of metal. She says she hasn't been working with metal that long, and she hopes to learn a few things.
They start with initially the wood mold, and then from there they make a silicone mold, and then from there they make a plastic mold, and then from there the sand gets set, and see the pipes that they're putting in? Those are kind of like the seep holes where they're going to be pouring the liquid metal into. It's very exciting.
Exciting? Being inside the studio is like being in an emergency room. But instead of yelling for sutures and suction, people are saying stuff like, hold the resin and bring me the catalyst. Alyssa Toninato says, while nobody's life is on the line, everything has to be done quickly.
So we have about 20 minutes before the mix in the sand gets hard and creates like the rigid sand mold that actually holds the molten metal. There's a lot of little steps, like some of the patterns are really detailed, so we want to make sure that we don't put any product in there that's starting to kick and get like cookie crumbly on us, that it won't really bind like homogeneously as like a big mold. Like we don't want to have any loose bits in there and stuff.
Toninato says casting iron is a lot like baking a cake. You gotta sift the lumps and bumps out of the mixture. When the cake, also known as the object, is removed from the mold, you want a pristine, smooth surface and not a bunch of craters everywhere. To do that, you need a lot of help. Something metal casting newbie Aaron Locks is seeing firsthand. He's a woodworker, and he says pouring metal is a huge undertaking.
My take on this being from the outside is that there's a lot of camaraderie here. It's a group-oriented effort to making art, and you just wouldn't do this yourself.
Metalsmith Kelly Ludeking says, a successful pour is not just about how many hands it takes to pour the metal. It's also about to whom those hands belong. You have to make sure you click with different personalities at the pour, and when you do, those are some strong ties.
I can go to anybody's iron pour, and even if I don't know the specific person putting it on, I'm like one person removed from that person probably, and it's that tight of a community that you're family instantly. If you say, oh, I cast metal and I've been with these people, you're automatically kind of in.
Ludeking says, while it's definitely a group thing, the work of the individual is not lost.
Well, you're still making your own pieces. You're still, everybody that's in this has got their own piece of art that they're actually bringing in, that they're working on, but they need the greater community to make that piece. So everybody's in it with the same kind of like lust for the material and for the finished product. They want their piece to come out, and the only way their piece is going to come out if everybody else's piece has come out, you know, also, and we all work together as that community.
Margaret Bobo Dancing. Okay, I didn't even ask if that was her real name because A, it's none of my business, and B, Bobo Dancing is awesome. Anyway, she's a student at the Art Institute in Chicago who made the drive to Madison just for the pour. She says while it's fun to work with folks, there's a practical side to group pours.
you can have an iron pour with less pieces to cast. It just is not energy proficient. So like on a very technical level, you want to have a big iron pour full with lots of people getting ready to work, because you need to have a lot of iron going down for it to even be worth it to start it up, because it's a long, painful process.
When I chat with artists, I always ask them about the transformative aspect of working alone on a single piece of art. Bobo Dancy says a group pour changes that dynamic of solo work.
I think that in the metal casting process, there's a lot of time when you are by yourself, and it's slow and it's meditative. You kind of have to get into the zen of creating molds and creating objects to be casted. And then you get together, and it's this really exhilarating, exciting experience where you get to pour metal. And then after the next day, you clean up, you pick up your pieces, and you take them back to where you're working or your shop is. And then you go back to that sort of like solitary sort of work method.
Downtime is over. Burdette, Toninato, Lox, Ludeking, and my favorite Bobo Dancing have to stop talking and start pouring metal. While they continue to smile and laugh, watching them pull on protective gear tells me it's about to get really real up in here. I get it. I will never really experience exactly what my father went through at work. But I understand. He didn't suffer all those scars and eye patches alone.
Contributor Jennifer Fields studies material culture at UW-Madison and is the curator of It's a Material World. That project is funded by the Chipstone Foundation, a decorative arts foundation whose mission is preserving and interpreting their collection, as well as stimulating research and education in the decorative arts. And that is all the time we have today. I'm Bonnie North. Thanks for making us a part of your afternoon. If you haven't already, please give us a call, 414-227-3210, or go to the website, wuwm.com/give, and either become a new member of Milwaukee Public Radio or renew your membership today. And everyone who's already done so, thanks so much. Lake Effect Weekend airs every Saturday and Sunday from 3 to 4 in the afternoon, and you can hear our weekday version of Lake Effect at 10 in the morning. It's all on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio, NPR in Milwaukee. Stay tuned now for Weekend All Things Considered. It's coming up next.